This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Wapagan Apke Pagan alongside Ian McNally and Bahe Yusuf. Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald is now in cinemas. It is directed once again by David Yates, written by J.K. Rowling, and it stars a stellar lineup: Eddie Redmayne, Jude Law, Johnny Depp, Ezra Miller, Zoe Kravitz, Catherine Waterston, Dan Fogler. Everyone's back from the original. This is the second of a purported 5-movie series. And listen, you don't need a Pokemon movie. You've got this one. He really wants to catch them all.
Yeah.
That's all he does in this film.
And there isn't 250, there's only 7.
This is like 2 hours and 15 minutes of setup, this entire movie. And setup for what? You know, I kept looking at my watch and thinking, there's only 20 minutes left. The climax has to be coming soon, because for the most part, all they're doing is walking around to different places.
Yeah.
But it's magical places.
I'm still confused about a lot of that movie.
Well, to we can clear one thing up. The Crimes of Grindelwald, it's murder.
So it's not
murder.
crimes.
It's one crime, yeah.
Done several times.
It's murder at the beginning, I think. He doesn't really do much apart from that. Apart from, like, was it having a gathering without a permit, maybe, near the end?
He did have a gathering without a permit.
Yeah. That's
true. Oh, yeah. That's illegal here and in Singapore.
There's a point near the end of this movie where it has a really interesting take on the magic world versus the real world. And this is set in 1927, and there's a glance at the future of both worlds. For these movies, which are kind of away in fantasy, is a very interesting take. It's just that it's buried in unrelenting fan service and world building, but it's not the fan service that I, as a fan of the first movie, want. Mm. And it's world building that doesn't seem to have any payoff in this movie.
This is only world building. It's 2 hours and 15 minutes of world building with no real first act, second act, or third act. Mm. Everything kind of blends into one, and then you think there's a semblance of a third act only because at the beginning of this third act, two individuals have exposition the movie where they both kind of tell you the story, and then it flashes back into the past where someone goes, no, this is really what happened, it's my turn to tell you the story.
Yeah, which kills the dramatic tension.
And then she proceeds to tell you the whole story.
Yeah.
If you had done that in the first 10 minutes, we'd be out of here already. I liked the first movie.
I love the first movie.
I thought it was so much fun.
And within 20 minutes, this movie undoes one of the most emotionally resonant parts of that first movie in an incredibly lazy way.
Yes.
There's a point where a character got their memory wiped in the first one. And this is like, that actor's back. And guess what? We didn't think about how to do it at all.
Yeah, it was just,
it didn't work. I'm okay.
Yeah, I'm okay.
It's fine. What? That was really disappointing.
That is like lazy teenage script writing. And then suddenly he reappeared unharmed. It's not like, and then, you know, a griffin saved him.
Yeah, yeah.
It's that kind of writing as opposed to...
There's no even real ghost in the shell. There's no like magic. There's no moment.
There should have been we've recovered. We needed him to remember where he put this thing.
And then
so we
got to
go get that potion somewhere.
Like, no, that's fine. But none of that happens. It's just, it didn't work.
Yeah.
Okay. Guess so.
And, you know, there's magician's biggest weakness is typos in celebrity magazines. There's like just some of that felt lazy. It's weird.
And I think that's what added to the weirdness. They tried to drive home all of these personal, intimate stories between these characters. And let me tell you, the people playing these characters are very good. I mean, Eddie Redmayne is so watchable. Mm. Catherine Waterston is great. Jude Law.
And yet they keep those two away from each other for the majority of the movie.
Which is
when
ridiculous.
They were put together in the first one, that's why we liked them in the first place.
I like Jude Law as young Dumbledore.
Youngledore.
Yeah, Youngledore.
Oh, God, please don't make that a thing, guys.
I mean, Ezra Miller, does a lot of his eyebrow acting.
He doesn't get to do anything else.
No,
like, he doesn't,
it's
like,
all
he,
eyebrow acting.
It's always just a weird camera angle. It's always, like, really high up looking
like,
down.
Like, because he can act. It just seems to be like the blocking was
really
bad.
They don't know what to
him.
Do with it.
Yeah. Even Johnny Depp was so restrained.
I thought that he was good.
Yeah. That was weird.
He wasn't gurning at all. Yeah. And I was like, okay, so there's something here.
At the end of it, it's like, yeah, both sides have points. I didn't think Johnny Depp in a white fright wig and a weird eyeball would be able to pull that off.
Exactly. And would have a point that I kind of agree with, right?
Yeah.
And I kind of bought that. And it begins with a really remarkable action sequence that I thought was a lot of fun. It's a great way to start the movie.
I thought it was muddy. I couldn't see what was going on.
Really?
Yeah. I'm with you.
I thought that was kind of cool.
It was the IMAX or not, but like, how many people got murdered?
Who knows?
No, everyone got murdered.
Yeah, but it was hard to see which ones got
except
murdered.
One guy who saved himself right at the end.
But they tried to do so much with all of these characters and actually fail at everything.
Yeah, that guy who got saved, that guy from the beginning, from the coach.
Yes.
He turns up repeatedly later on in the movie.
I have no idea who
he is. But it's not really clear if it's him or not. He had some scratches on his face from that little thingy, but like, it's not like, who are you?
He's the president of something.
Of something, exactly. In the first movie, it was clear who the president
was. No, but that's the problem, right? In the first one, they really made a point about the ministry and all how that's important and blah, blah, blah.
Hey, this is a part of the Harry Potter universe that's not in any of the books, and we have to explain it.
Yeah.
This one is like, no one's even saying abracadabra. Mm. Hey, what's the one that kills people?
That's the one.
They just have green flashes now.
Yes.
Because they realize they don't want adults saying abracadabra.
Because it's silly?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've always said that, okay, when it comes to movies like these, when it comes to franchise movies, that critics often make a mistake of judging them by themselves, right? Mm. I mean, when we watch a Marvel Cinematic Universe movie, we have to judge it by the fact that it is movie 21 or 22 or whatever, because it has to be taken as a whole.
But they generally put enough in there so that you know, like, there's a scene of Peter saying goodbye to Mary Jane or whatever.
Correct.
You know, there's a hint there. Or you get Tony and Pepper having a conversation that doesn't really drive Avengers, but reminds you that they're a thing.
There's a humanity there.
But for the most part, all of those movies also have a very clear beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah.
Yes.
This movie really doesn't. It seems like a series of non sequiturs that have been stitched together.
Yeah.
There's a whole scene with a carnival
that
kind of starts and ends, and we're introduced to all of these characters, and then it just moves past it as if none of it's important.
And all of it does is make you hate wizards because they seem like kind of
they're real dicks.
Yeah, I mean, like, they basically have like a zoo that wouldn't get a permit anywhere in the world these days. It's like it's an awful place for these awful. And, they, and also human trafficking and slavery, they seem to be big into.
They
as
also
well.
Do that as well.
And the rest of the wizards are like, eh, whatever.
Yeah. I for me, okay, so like.
They deserve whatever Grindelwald crimes on them next.
No, completely. I think I'm
whatever he crimes on them.
Yeah. whatever crime he does next on them. No, like, but they deserve it.
I don't understand the rules of the universe, right? Yeah.
That's why that third act action sequence seems to go out of its way to explain. It's like, oh, we can use magic to get out of here. Here's a scene showing you what happens if you try that. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, there's like two people apparate and then poof, they're gone. Yeah. What happens if you go this way? What happens if you go that way? That scene answers all those questions, but no other scene in the movie seems to have those.
Yeah, no scene in the other movies in the movie seems to ask those questions that's answering at the end. And
there
I
are
think
giant
that's a problem with
drapes
it.
Flying over Paris.
I'm just like,
can the Muggles see that?
Yeah, so that's what I'm wondering.
Can they not
is
see
there
that?
Is there like a are they an alternate dimension time universe?
Is that like
universe?
1927 version of AIM?
Nothing
is
explained.
It was a really cool image, but I don't know what it is.
There is a bit of exposition in the beginning when Dumbledore is speaking to Newt for the first time, and then they try and fill in the gap from the first movie because they didn't do it in the first movie. So we just need to fill all of that in within 5 minutes, and then there's all of that exposition at the end. But in the middle, it feels like a group of people running around Paris aimlessly.
Yeah.
So there's a scene when Queenie thinks she hears them.
And she has they kind of didn't play up the Professor X-ness of that because I forgot she's a mind reader telepath person.
Yes.
So she hears their thoughts and she sees them twice and then it's like, I'm just going to sit down and have a cry.
This is such a muddled film.
And then her development from that point onwards makes no sense.
No sense.
Which
I don't know
for me is absolutely shocking because it's David Yates. So I don't know where they dropped the ball on this one, because I thought the David Yates Harry Potter movies, the last three, were very, very good. The color palette that was set forward by Alfonso Cuarón in Harry Potter 3 was something that was built on by David Yates throughout the series, and it's a great color palette and it's utilized so well. I mean, that scene I was talking about with Queenie, you know, she's in the rain and she's got this pinkish, mauve-ish jacket and umbrella.
Yeah.
And of course, it really stands out with the rest of Paris.
The Paris is kind of like
we're
Yellowstone
all in
or something like that. And
yes,
yellows.
Exactly. And the color palette's phenomenal. And I've loved what he does with that. But everything else is just a muddled mess.
And then there's that weird editing as well.
The editing is really weird. There were points of it I felt like, did censorship get through this? Because it feels like there was a jump. It just feels like scenes don't work. There are a couple of conti things that I thought was a little strange for a Hollywood production.
It's just really bad storytelling technique because they tease you with something and then they cut away for 30 minutes before the big reveal. Mm. And that's just really poor.
Mm. Yeah.
That's what they used to do in the old days. It's like, you want to know what this is? Wait till the
just
end.
Just hang on.
We'll tell
you. There's a thinner, better movie inside this.
There is.
This movie.
It's 2 hours and 15 minutes, right?
We weren't sure whether it was five or seven movies. Maybe there were seven, and this is actually, they got rid of two and put them into this one, and that's why it's so choppy.
I don't know.
With all of that world building and all of that exposition, you're still lost because they do such a poor job introducing new characters.
They do a poor job of tracking you, the audience, the characters as well. You don't know what they're doing when they're doing it. They're just, like you said, they're just running around.
They all turn around, look to the side, and next thing you know, they're outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's a point. That's at the sewer thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the bridge.
They're captured in a jail.
There.
Yes.
No. Something happens, and the next thing you know, they're outside, and
it just opened, didn't
Wait,
it?
Wait, what?
Where did Grimson go? Like, he turned up as if he was, like, Nuke's commander's enemy from the first movie, and it's like, I don't remember this guy. Also, I don't remember having a brother. And then Grimson's like, I'm having evil talk, strokey beard, and he's gone. He doesn't turn up at all. He's not even like on the shoulder of somebody later, like standing behind
you. No,
someone.
It's so confusing. I don't know. I mean,
in the halfway through the second act, he's speaking to Grindelwald and he just disappears.
Mm. Yeah. That's it. And I'm frustrated.
Mm. Yeah.
I had high hopes for this.
I did. I did too.
As much as I enjoyed the first one, I had really, really high hopes for this.
Yeah. I guess that would be, for me, that would be my one advice, right? If you're going to go watch this, and I know you're going to go watch this, go rewatch the first one first. Mm. Just to sort of refresh your memory about characters and relationships, etc. And then realize how frustrating this movie was.
Let us know what you think once you've seen The Crimes of Grindelwald.
Crime.
We're not quite sure what
single crime.
The crimes are.
Single crime.
If it's a crime or a crime.
Male fraud.
Yeah, male fraud. That's what The Crimes of Grindelwald are. Let us know what you think. You can tweet me. I'm on at Umar Fagan.
I'm at McNasty Prime.
I'm at Bahi Wyatt.
You're listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.